Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on nature for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, good evening.
Hey, what's going on there, pumpkins?
Oh, wow, there's just so much with the upcoming NATO. The Anonymous has gotten here. All the protesters are coming in by the busloads. They're locking the city down.
Yeah?
Sounds like fun. They're going to have a military exercise tomorrow for 2 hours, starting at 8 o'clock our time, you know. So, which would be 7 o'clock your time.
Yeah. I'll be looking at the USNS Essex tomorrow.
Well, that's going to be better than seeing all the military flying around.
That's true, too. What else is going on? Tell me about what's going on. What are they doing?
They've already been arresting people and towing vehicles. They're saying that they're able to keep it going.
You got them started already.
I know. All I had to do was say the needle. They are putting out a warning to everybody here in regards to internet and smartphone, possibly hacking and stuff of that nature. That's what the Anonymous does.
Wow.
They get in everybody's electronics.
Yeah. Well, I don't have to worry about that. I got somebody else trying to get into my electronics.
I know. You know, but in regards to, it was supposed to go just, you know, tomorrow to Monday, it's extended now to Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
So the people that live around, McCormick Place, they're not happy about it, but they're not leaving. They don't like the steel barrier fences that have been placed everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, I don't know if they shot on the news by you, but it's like you're caged in your own neighborhood, you know. They've got people, a certain type of military group that is already set in place with specific types of uniforms.
Uh-huh.
In case if chemicals are tossed or put out during the weekend of the Navy.
Right.
So their gear is ready, well, for that. And, of course, you know, the mayor here spent $165 million in regards to riot helmets, so God bless them. But even from the suburbs, which I'm in, the outskirts of Chicago, they are also sending in officers from the surrounding suburbs into Chicago to help.
Yeah. What else are they going
to? They're trying to make it to the public that it's going to be a peaceful demonstration. I don't see it taking place.
Nothing there is peaceful.
No, I don't see it taking place. It's going to be, you know, well, like I said, unfortunately, there's going to be at least 60, if not more, dignitaries from everywhere that will be here. So they have to make sure their safety is in order and everything else, which, you know, I'm sure they can cover that. In regards to protesters, that's a violence, you know, that has been seen worldwide. Anytime there's a NATO meeting, no matter where it is, there's always been rash of violence. So even though they're trying to portray to keep everybody calm, you know, I already see it happening, period.
Right.
Because it's just how it is. What was it, 98, when they had the NATO meeting in Summit, or Seattle, it turned very violent there. So, you know, that's why I said, wherever they have it, it's violent. In Paris, you know, when they had it in Paris, I remember, you know, the bombs that were put out and everything else. I mean, it was just horrendous.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like anything else that goes on back there. They're so fucking uptight. Most of those guys need a beer to blow job. They're so fucking
uptight. Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of them don't get neither. Sorry. I couldn't help but say that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, it's... you know, it's kind of weird because I've only seen, and there is no, it's a no-fly zone here while the NATO meeting is taking place, or the summit meeting, whatever.
Always not a no-fly zone.
Right. Well, you know, now it's more. So they're trying to get all the, you know, once all the dignitaries were going to be in through our international airport at some point today. And then they were putting the no-fly zone ban out.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to wait for everyone to arrive.
Yeah.
So they had a welcoming committee, you know, at the airport and everything, so.
Oh, yeah? What kind of welcoming committee?
The well, it's people that were trained for 5 weeks. How to welcome them to Chicago.
Yeah, but was that...
explain to them easier routes to get around the downtown area, quicker routes, you know, if they wanted to go see certain things. But there's so much that's going to be closed, well, unless if they open them for the dignitaries. Because all museums are going to be shut down and everything. So... people are getting ready. Well, as ready as they think they are.
Somebody will fuck it up. They always do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know.
You know
like they say, politics fucks up everything, so.
Well, you know, the sad thing is you have people that are demonstrating because of immigration. Then you got people demonstrating because of foreclosures. Then you have people like in the county that I'm in, Cook County. It's the largest county in the state here, which you know that. And, you know, it's the most... it's the highest.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but Fran wants to know which comes first, beer or the hand blowjob?
I'm not sure. I never asked. I should have done my homework before I called in tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a good one.
Maybe they do both
at the same time.
All right, hang on a second. I got to do something here. I'm going to play this song. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike Peter, big homie. Summertime in the valley, homie. Yeah. Come on.
C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. It's summertime in the valley, baby. It's summertime in the valley, It's summertime in the valley, baby.
hoes in the pool again. When it comes to having fun, I'm a motherfucking addict. Once again, I'm back at it, baby mama, true dramatic. And goddamn it, it's about that time. Then drink up the vodka, beer, and wine. Not even Friday night, girl, from the same time. So what the fuck, I guess I'll bust another rhyme. Cause hey, all I wanna do is drink beer and screw. Hang on the avenue and go home with you when the party ends. Mike P back again with rep for representing. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G'd up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. C-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G'd up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. My Mike P, and it's likely that you just might be my new white team. Hey, I'm just playing. Tell me, baby girl, hey, are you leaving or staying? There's a pool party going on, I'm all jump in. Kick back for a second, bring a couple of friends. I don't know the type of Chris that you been in, but my backyard look like a fucking Caribbean. Waterfalls, waterfalls, let's slip, let's fly. Jump in the pool, act a fool. I'm way too cool, call me GQ Smooth. It's a player's holiday, so it's time to celebrate. Got chicken on the grill, put some beer and steak. The feeling so great in the 818. It's a summertime breeze for the summertime G's and the summertime ladies with the double double D's. B-A-L-L-E-Y, we stay G'd up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. B-A-L-L-E-Y, we stay G'd up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie.
Yeah, this next verse right here goes out to everybody cruising Lower Canyon, homie, in 1999, 2000. Yeah, this one's for you, straight up.
In the town of 818 of the L.A. County, there's a place that we roll in the San Fernando Valley. A little boulevard that's called Lower Canyon, where all the chicken heads go when it's time for landing. Hit the street looking clean, rolling these up in a Cadillac. Bumping too short like a big motherfucking Mac. Take a sip of yak just to get right. Holla at some hoes at the next red light. From Fox Avenue all the way to Brand. Turn around and come back to the three-wheel stand. Watch it jump, hydraulic in the trunk. Turn my bass up and watch my 12-inch bump. Can't fuck with my ride, homie, don't try. Fucking with my senses like suicide. Back to them hoes, little lady, what's your name? She roll away hard in a blue Ford Range. She said, what's your name? I said, I might be the lady of the night. Is what you might be. She said, I heard of you, you a player, right? Don't get mad at me, girl, cause I keep my game tight. She gave up the number with no fuss and fight. I'll be up in that ass later on tonight. Jump back in my ride, swerve away from the curb. Back on the boulevard for another chick to serve. Not even 8 o'clock, already got 6 numbers. I can tell right now it's gonna be a great summer. B-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G'd up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie. B-A-L-L-E-Y, we say G'd up and fly all the time, yeah. Summertime in the SFV, something for my 818 homie.
Hello.
I'm there.
Still there, Nora?
Yes.
Okay. It seems everybody
I was jamming
in the chat
out
room
to the SFB. What?
Yeah. And with Mike P, for anybody that didn't know, he's a regular on our show. But, yeah, Fran wants to know which comes first, the beer or the hand or the blowjob.
Yeah, I know. We already discussed that, and I forgot to do my homework and go ask somebody before going in.
Okay.
But they probably are multitasking, like, you know, we're able to do that. So, you know, they could drink and drop and, you know, do what they need to do all at the same time.
Really?
Multitasking is not hard to do.
Okay, I'm intrigued now.
I'm sure you are.
But
just think of the next time, you know, you got to do something. It's easy to multitask. It's not hard.
I know. I'm multitasking right now.
Of course. You always do.
But, no, Bernie's here. Nora, this
well,
is Bernie.
Good. They have Bernie.
She's in Chicago.
Hey, how's Chicago? Cold, warm, hot?
Chicago is a nice day. We're going to be hot In the near 90s, we got the NATO summit meeting taking place here this weekend, and it's going to be interesting.
And security.
Yeah, the security. Let's see, they brought in military, everything. They're going to put the no-fly zone in place. They're locking the city down, and they've got buses upon buses of protesters already here, and they're still coming.
Okay.
Damn.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have to be careful now with our internet and our smartphones, because there's a certain group which Phil could YouTube for the anonymous. They like to mess with everybody's internet and their phones. They like to jam them up.
They do that right now. In fact,
yeah.
Right now, Bernie.
In fact, they have people from Paris. Demonstrators are here, which are very violent. They have been at previous NATO meetings.
Okay. Yeah, you didn't hear what Bernie said. There's a white van parked out in front of my house right now.
I already know that. It's there every time when we're on the show.
Exactly.
Remember, you sent me a picture.
Nobody believes me.
Oh, I do. God, the least we could do is give them coffee.
Yeah.
I think donuts kind of fits the persona.
Well, you know, that goes back to my thing about Oceanside.
The hand, the blowjob, the beer, and what? Yeah. They might need that too. Maybe that's why they're stuck to you. I don't know. They want you to introduce them to women.
Well, they got in trouble for that.
Yes, I know. But you know what? It doesn't stop them. There's always behind closed doors. You always know there's something going on.
Yeah, they were jamming up just good-looking chicks driving a car.
I'm sure.
Because it's like, it's like I said before, I'll let everybody in on this one again, but it's the shocking Oceanside, California Police Department and their health issues. So a visit to Oceanside will open the health problem of what seems to be the entire police force. You know, in my opinion, there's nothing wrong with putting on a little extra weight. But driving around Oceanside, California the other day, on my way to the beach, I was shocked at how many overweight police officers I saw. We've all seen the movies where they make fun of cops as being frumpy and heavy and a whole lot of not too bright. And we've all heard of the donut eating references a million times. But it would seem that sometimes stereotypes are born of truth. Driving downtown on my way to the beach, I happened to pass two guys within a couple blocks of each other. Both were overweight, although I didn't think anything of it at the time. Not until I stopped at my favorite coffee shop at 9 in the morning did the health problem of Oceanside's police department become glaringly apparent. There were several police officers in the shop. Don't ask me why so many were in uniform, not working at the exact same time. And absolutely all of them were in possession of quite a few more pounds than is normally healthy. One of them is what I would refer to as grotesquely overweight. Normally, I don't care about people's weight. However, when you're talking about public servants, people are supposed to protect us. I had some pause for serious thought. You know, if my wife or girlfriend just happened to be robbed, or worse yet, sexually assaulted, I realized that if she screamed for help and one of these guys was nearby and able to respond, there's no hope in hell they could run fast enough to be able to catch the perpetrator. Unless the officer is not lounging around in a coffee shop and is lucky enough to be in a vehicle, in all likelihood, the suspect is going to get away. This is just not acceptable, so I have to ask the obvious. What the hell is going on here in Oceanside? Are there no physical standards to speak of? Are there any standards, but nobody on the force is taking them seriously? Are there no repercussions for those who don't meet the standards? The military has physical standards, so what's going on with the police? And you commented on today?
The bottom line is that they probably have a union, and the union has negotiated as far as their health issues go, they're supposed to be able to do physicals, keep up with the physical, and they're supposed to see MDs, and they go and get tested. And it's a good system. I know the fire department, we always have physicals.
Right.
And what it did is it showed you if you were, you know, number one, you could be on the brink of having a heart attack and, mm-hmm. you know, they'd catch it. Or, you know, they'd look at guys and they'd start telling them early on in their career, hey, you're putting on too many extra pounds. And then there comes a time to where it's pretty evident if they can do the job or not, and they can be put off for not being able to do their job. So I don't know what their union has negotiated. Maybe they don't have to take physicals.
Yeah, because it's basically some laugh at the cops in general for being out of shape, but the fact of the matter is it's not a laughing matter to me. When for some unforeseen reason, you have to depend on their services and protection. If they aren't willing to take care of themselves, how are they going to take care of you? It's unfortunate that such is the case that I even caused to write about this issue. But it is what it is, and that's very sad.
But okay, you have that issue with officers there, but since you're familiar with the state. Look at how Chicago is. There's not many small ones.
Because Obama is preaching on how to stay healthy and what foods to eat.
Yes, and have you seen the new sign from McDonald's? You know, if your kids get fat from it's not our fault. You know, come
yeah.
on. You know,
California is
No, I was just going to say, isn't it, I've always assumed and heard that people eat healthier in California than they do anywhere else. I could be wrong, but, I mean, that's what people have said to me.
Well, there's almost a McDonald's at every corner here in California.
Right, yeah.
And that's, like, how it is here, too. Well, White Castle, I don't know if you guys have those. We call them sliders, Whitey One-Biters, you know. It's more like the center to the East Coast kind of burger joint. But, you know.
Buy those out here at Albertsons. It tastes like shit, but they're because they're frozen.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you guys have an Albertsons. We don't. We have, like, a Kroger or a Piggly Wiggly or you have different ones. But, you know, in regards to the weight issue, yeah, they've got to do something because they're not fit to run 3 miles after somebody. So, of course, you know, they have to have backup behind them.
Well, let's see what Fran's got to say. Hello, Fran.
Hey.
Hi, Fran.
For everybody that's listening, Bill's not able to join us tonight. He's got some health. His wife has some health issues, and he wasn't able to make it today. But Bernie from the County Boys up north graciously decided to step in here and take Bill's place tonight, which he's going to talk about something that happened to him after we get through with this segment. So go ahead, Fran. What do you think about these fat guys?
Well, I mean, there's fat guys, and there's other issues, and my big issue right now is. A couple weeks ago, you asked about how come we don't have any bikers stepping up to the plate. And that email that I sent you,
yeah,
and I said don't use the names and what have you.
Yeah, you got a lot of heat for that, didn't you?
Well, I got a lot of heat for that. And not for nothing, but when they put slurs like that about bikers on TV, then people are going to live up to it and accept it. When Hollister, when they had done that slur on bikers in Hollister, that wasn't even a fucking biker that was on the bike. Those bottles that were around the bike were put there for that photo. And that legacy has been hanging around us for, what, 100 years now? That's what it feels
like.
And so my question is, where, you know, tolerance, humor, I don't find any humor when a TV show calls bikers baboons and we should not wear helmets and crash so we can give, so somebody can have our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you saw the response that I made.
Yeah.
And my response essentially is, where the fuck is he? Or, and he's not the only one I've received those kind of nasty grams from, where are they when it comes to the fucking funerals of those that we've just buried?
Right.
And I don't see humor in any of that. Now, I may be wrong, but you know something? I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of people joking, Jeff. As you know, Bill has a lot of respect for me. I have a lot of respect for him. I'll respect any biker as long as they respect me for my ride.
Mm-hmm.
You don't respect me? You know what? I don't need to protect you. I don't need to ride next to you. At that point, you can suck my wind, honey. And I can guarantee
exactly.
It will be sucking my wind.
Yeah.
But,
no,
and when you're saying, you know, groups, oftentimes, if you really look to see what group they are.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to single any group out, but it does start with an H, I believe, and there's a O somewhere's there, and maybe a G somewhere's too. And those people really, you know, I appreciate they can spend those big dollars for those machines. But you know something? If they don't get what's happening, I feel sorry for them.
Mm-hmm.
We are not just weekend warriors. We are not just people who go out there and ride because we just feel like riding. You, just like myself, I ride a bike about 90-95% of the time.
Uh-huh. Yes, you do. I've seen it.
Well, like I say, the only time the bike gets washed is when it's raining.
But you know something?
The thing that really bothers me is there are people that don't understand what's going on.
No.
And they're opening their fucking mouth where it don't belong.
Mm-hmm.
I have had discussions with people, or I should say, I have had discussions and tried to educate some of the individuals that think that they know safety. And it's like, you know what? You get about 40 years of education on car, truck, and motorcycle safety, and then you know what? You come back and talk to me.
Right.
Now I'm being shunned by a number of people because a lot of those people thought that John was the only person that was doing all this educating. It's like, okay, you people are real bright. Now we see some of the signs up this week. I guess it's better late than never.
Well, here's the deal about those signs. Our COC has just donated more money to these causes, too. And we all write our congressmen from our areas. And what it is as they replace these signs, they're going to put for motorcycles, too, especially in the Diamond Lane. And that's the kind of bartering that came place with the state, so it wasn't such an expense. As you know, we're $16 billion in debt in California. So,
I'm just going to stop you for 1 second. Do you know that motorcycle tickets go into a special fund?
Oh, yeah, I do. And I know that they spend it for everything else, and they spend it for these motorcycle checkpoints, you know, to only make more money off of motorcyclists. No, they do not do any education with it, and that is a big beef. And we are big, strong members in our COC in Southern California, in the bottom part, where we're at, down there in Anaheim, as far as supporting.
State
has to do with this, and we have members that go to all the way to the Capitol in Sacramento, and we watch these bills that try to get passed through all the time. There's a whole slew of new bills trying to stop lane sharing, all kinds of things most people aren't even aware of.
The lane sharing, they are not going to stop it because the Highway Patrol doesn't want to stop it, and there's a reason for it. If they stop it, they can't do it either. So
don't believe everything you hear about that because, number one, they're trying to slide it in secrets in all these bills coming up.
Yeah, see,
and that's what you have oversight committees for in RCOC to keep their eye on that and to put the word out. And with Gil that works our abate, he is real big in watching every bill that comes out. We have quite a few there that put a lot of time in watching everything and go down there to the Capitol. And there was over 1,000 guys this time on bikes down at the Capitol.
Yeah, since John has died, I've been a little lagging on keeping up with stuff that's there. I'm the one. I don't know if any of your COC was up at Sacramento. The safety meeting. That's with Highway Patrol and all them?
Yeah, well, not just that. All of the city was up there. And
that's the meeting that I went to, and that's the one that I have been kind of participating in. And there are certain individuals that are kind of trying to blackball me from the education part of that, which, like I say, John and I have been part of. And so when they're talking about education, what would be good if you do not have it is you should request from that yearly meeting, which is it's a public document because it was a meeting, all that transpired, and including where that money is and how it is being spent. That is your right to have a copy of that. I would send you a copy from that meeting. However, if you saw my living room, you wouldn't even dare ask for even a pencil in my house right now.
Well, it sounds like you're keeping busy.
Yeah, I guess.
That's good.
But I have a feeling that I'm going to need to come up and have a cup of coffee with you.
Not a problem.
It works for me, honey. I've been known to be a little pushy. I'm a little frumpy old woman. I ride my own scoot.
You know, hold on 1 second, friend. I want to show Bernie something. Hold on, I want to show him. No, I want to show him something. See this picture right here, Bernie? Friends took those pictures. That's the only time I had a woman on her back in a parking lot for 6 hours, and all I got was some good pictures.
You mean that's the only time you could keep a woman on her back for 6 hours? Sorry.
Yeah, your story. Drink your pop.
That wasn't a parking lot in public view, though.
That's true, under a big flag.
Yeah. It gives voyeurs a big...
and then everybody got nervous because they sent me all kinds of emails going, what kind of help you need? They thought the flag was upside down.
Yeah, but you know something? Until you pointed that out, I never even noticed or saw that. But but it's not flying upside down. It just...
But yeah, so it's just like anything else, you know. Bernie's real heavy into that. I'm heavy into it. Bill's heavy into it with me, and it's like you get 9 out of 10 people that are going to say, "Oh yeah, I'll be there. I'll fight," and you get one guy shows up.
Yeah.
Almost with anything in life. You know, there's doers and there's ones that talk a good game.
Yeah, but Bernie, I'll tell you what, when you're getting people that are getting sloppy, getting stupid, and they're going into hog groups and these different clubs, not patch holder clubs, you know which ones I'm talking about, just regular clubs that are carrying these titles of safety officer, and they don't know safety from what? Okay, and right now, our numbers are actually going up, and they're going up because there are people out there that think that who they voted in to do the safety officer knows what the hell they're talking about. Now, I don't know too many people out there. You probably are one that probably had a blowout out there. I tell you what, going for a wobble is exciting. But you know something? It's not something that I'm going to say I'm proud of, having a flat tire, but hey, it happened. But I survived it. I don't know how many people out there is actually smart enough to ride it out. Or
no,
even what to
do. Do is hit the brakes.
Yeah, sure. I'll hit the brakes.
I said, you're right. Most people panic and they hit the brakes.
Correct. Well, it's scary. Actually,
yeah,
not scary.
It is.
But then again,
the money's been cut out for, you know, motorcycle safety classes.
Do you know Wendell Perry? I have great respect for her. And the reason is when we were up at Mount Soledad, there's one thing that woman doesn't like to do, and she does not like to work a bike on loose gravel and sand. I don't blame her. I kiss the ground off that crap. But what I have a great respect for is a biker who knows to ask someone else to do something.
Uh-huh.
She could have done it, but she requested someone else to do it for her.
Yeah.
And I have a great deal of respect for that, because that's someone that's saying, hey, you know, I could have done it.
Yeah.
Well, I would feel a hell of a lot better if someone else did it for me. Hey, you know what? That ain't stupid. That's being smart.
That's true. Sometimes people call me all the time and ask me to help them out, do this, do that, and I tell them how to do it and what to do. And the only guy that's listened to me so far was Billy, who called in Tuesday night about what happened with him and when he went to court.
Hopefully it all turned out well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They no charges. They told him they had a year to file. And basically right now, because him and another guy, they took their military-issued knives.
Right.
They went to him in Afghanistan, told him when he asked him for a receipt, the guy said, oh, you want to go that route? I'll arrest you for a felony. And he didn't say, yeah, let's do it. He just gave up the knife. So now we're going to get the knives back. But when I told him to go to court, make sure you get, I hooked him up and make sure you get a writ of habeas corpus to get your stuff back. So we're working on that right now.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, there's a lot of things that some of the old-timers.
Right.
And, you know, the old-timers, and I tried to even get a couple organizations to try and get some of the old code back in education. And they're saying, well, that's not our job. They should know that. Well, where the fuck do you think they're going to learn it? It's not in any goddamn book.
Right.
Oh, let's see. No, you can't join the pack. Why? Because we said so. Okay, well, are you a patch holder? No. Are you a prospect? No. Okay, so what is a prospect? You know, nobody goes through any explanation. They expect new people to understand it. Unfortunately, a lot of these prospects that are coming in are kind of bullying and trying to override what has been there in the pyramid for years. And you know something? That is wrong. They're actually
It's like right now what's kind of on TV the other night for the last 2 weeks. I don't know if you heard my thing about the Devil's Ride.
No.
Okay, let me enlighten you. I'll pull it up here, and this is my take on it.
Yep, you have to understand that I kind of try and grab snippets when I can.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I just get lost on the way, which is not bad. Especially if I'm on the bike, it's great to get lost.
Yeah, they call that a blonde moment, don't they?
I'm not blonde, I'm gray now.
Okay, here's, let's see. Yeah. No, that's not the one. Let me, shit. Let me see. Well, let's see. Yeah. Yeah, on May 8th, they debuted this show. It's called The Devil's Ride. They're actually the Laughing Devils out of San Diego. I just kind of, when I seen them come around a few years ago, I seen they had a Nomad patch, and now all of a sudden they're claiming Dago, but they're wearing a Nomad patch. Does that make sense to you, Bernie?
No.
How the fuck are they getting away with that? I don't understand how they're getting away with it either. And supposedly now it's supposed to have three chapters.
Well, I'm not real familiar with the club. I don't know any of the gentlemen. I did watch it.
Mm-hmm. What was your take on it?
I enjoyed watching Illusions. Great place to have a bike fixed at.
Mm-hmm.
Rusty and T-Rod are the two guys that own that shop, and they do great work, and they build beautiful bikes. They got that right on the show.
Right. But let me see. I wrote that. Find it. They were best. So, friend, have you experienced anybody trying to knock you off your bike yet? Again? No, sit there. Friend. Friend? Nora, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. Friend must answer the phone. But, I'm trying to find this thing right here I wrote. Let me see. This is me off. I forgot what I put it under.
Well, just take it from the top.
No, this is my thing. I don't remember exactly what I wrote because it took me an hour and a half to write it. Jeez. Nope.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Oh, we lost a minute.
No, you didn't lose me.
Okay. But, Has anybody tried to run you off the road lately?
Yes.
What'd you do?
And?
What'd you do?
Actually, at that point, since I was heading to work, I didn't do anything. There are times when, if I were to do a confrontation, I have only once in my life have I ever experienced road rage. And that's because someone had put John in jeopardy.
Right.
And I have always promised myself that I will not let myself get out of control. And again, that day when John and I were going, whatever meeting or run it was that we were going to, I did not chase the woman down and do whatever needed to be done. I have had similar experiences where just, you know, a week or so ago, where a man, asshole, tried to squeeze me off my shoulder. I had a cop behind me, and this guy actually almost got my front tire on the freeway. That's similar to the one that just died, caught his tire and killed his wife. You know, and it's like, you know what? They're not even sorry anymore. Like, oh, I'm sorry. They don't even give a shit anymore. Because you know what? All we are to them is a piece of meat. And so when I got that email, or emails, not just from one person, saying, well, it's funny, it's humorous. And I'm trying to figure out what is humorous of calling us all these different things. You know, I reflect back when Bush called his daughter-in-law. A brown daughter-in-law. Man, that raised such stink because he didn't call her black. Because she's Mexican descent, called her brown. He got all kinds of flack for calling her that. And so if that were the case, then calling us baboons, and I mean, excuse me? I mean, I have problems with that. And then when I see a man almost trying to run me off into the shoulder, his wife is sitting next to him, He's got children in the back seat, and what the hell is he teaching his kids? He's teaching his kids something really wonderful. Hey, look, you can do this too when you grow up. That's an imprint. These kids model what their parents do. And I feel sorry for the wife, if that's who she was, because what that tells me is that that's a son of a bitch that's going to be a wife abuser and doesn't care about life in general, because he's the only one that's out there and important.
Yeah, it's a sad state.
Go ahead, Bernie. When I was up in Sacramento, I mean, I was livid. I was really livid because NHTSA was there. Everybody was there, okay? DMV and everybody else. And you know something? I'm tired of lip service. And they want to do all of these things for bikers. And my adage right now is, there's not a damn thing that you can do for us until you get those other people under control.
Right.
Make them responsible for their behavior behind the wheel. Until you can do that, there is nothing that you can do for us. And at that point, because I had NHTSA there, and only by the grace of God is, and I'm not, whatever, the young military man that was rear-ended, that helmet broke that guy's neck off.
Yeah.
Okay? And at that point, you know that they're doing a two-year study. Or I should say not a two-year study. The officers are to write down with the accident what type of helmets were worn in these accidents. They only have enough money for a two-year study on it, so we better get a copy of it. But NHTSA is so strong on these full, you know, helmets. Part of what broke this man's neck clean off was that helmet. Now, grace of God, this guy's still alive. So when they tell me that helmets do this and that, my neck will always be have a curve in it from when the Bell helmet actually did me in. Problem I have now, my neck will not support anything heavier than a beanie. With all of this technology, we have today, all they have are these heavy helmets.
So.
You got to give me a break. Now, I don't remember what coach it was. There was a coach, an old timer. And when I say old timer, he was one of the old timers that when he was starting coaching in football, the helmets they wore were leather.
Yeah.
So, you know what? So were the motorcycle helmets. Those were leather. And it wasn't so much for protection except for to keep the hair out of your face.
Right.
Now, what that coach came out and said was, and this was only maybe a year, 2 years ago. I've lost a little track in time here. But what he said is, look what's happening to the football players. They're making these helmets. They're making them wear these neck protectors, adi, adi, adi. And so what's happening is instead of the football players tackling and using their shoulder to do what they're supposed to do, they're using mm-hmm. their head because they've got
right.
this really cool helmet. Now, with Junior that just died,
mm-hmm.
he is, I believe, one of eight of that team that committed suicide. Now, that's not a really good number, which now question comes up, why in such a small group of men would you have such a high number? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But now when you're asking bikers to wear these really heavy pieces, you know something? You're wondering why that they have, you know, neck problems and shoulder problems and back problems. Maybe having, you know, a 5-pound ball on their head, you know, does a little active here.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I have found is, and I had brought this up last time I was on the phone, is you've got people out there, full-face helmet, and when they're in traffic, what's going to be quicker, a horn or yelling real loud at the son of a gun? Okay? Well, guess
yeah.
what? The answer is you better yell.
Well, I just ordered a 160 decibel air horn that goes underneath my bike.
But you know something? It doesn't matter. And I'll tell you why the horn doesn't matter. A horn is a horn, and they're going to come out because it's only a horn. I have yelled at people on the freeway.
Yeah.
And had them react very violently and quickly away from me, because they are not accustomed to hearing a loud voice out there.
Yeah. Well, I rode by a few windows and hollered, "Hey, what the fuck are you doing?"
And they move, don't they?
Yeah, they jump.
Yeah. They jump quicker with that than they will with your horn.
To the guy that cut me off.
Yeah. But,
few quarters.
I found that article.
Okay.
I want to read it and give you a little insight here. Let me get it right here. Yep. Okay. This is my take on what I watched with the Devil's Ride. But it starts out where I watched the Devil's Ride Tuesday night. Let me say this. There's no need to ask any MC or any stupid questions about the MC world, since I've been known stupid question was answered in last night's episode. I thought that's the way it would stereotype us, but then this shit comes along. If this club is real, why would they air out their business on TV? Let's see. Inner turmoil, cops and gang task force breathing down their necks, assaults on camera, twatty old ladies, ex-cons with assault weapons. Who the fuck would do gun deal under a sign that says "Welcome to Lakeside" from trunk to trunk on national? Shit, next week's more inner turmoil, felony assault, strong arming, and that's just a preview. They went and got the bike, strong arm to get the bike.
No. They didn't strong arm to get that bike. It looked like Gypsy is an actual licensed person to go pick up
delinquent
bikes.
Okay.
Because I can tell you right now, Rusty at Illusions would not have even hired anybody that was doing anything legal, and he made it real point and clear. This is all legal and above board.
Right. I'm just busting balls here because this is fun.
Well, I know you're
this
busting.
This is funny.
But I got to stick up for the for these other guys.
I know you do. I'm waiting for the meth lab kidnapping mob hit episodes. Great ambassadors of the MC world to the public. People say it's reality TV, so it must be real. If so, then the twatty old lady who laid the beer bottle across the photog's head would have been arrested and charged with aggravated assault, and the Discovery film footage would have been confiscated as evidence. I guess having pro wrestlers in a series gives credibility to it being real. At least with SOA, it's Hollywood, and not perceived anymore as real. So to the general public, except for the morons who wear their SOA hoodies in public trying to be. As for the rough and tumble MC that's been around for 5 years, their patches on their backs look awful clean with all the fights and all. Don't drink the Kool-Aid, America. This show is as real as Kim Kardashian's tits. If this build was reality, the end result would be said producer getting a lumpy hairdo and his camera stuck up his ass. Oh, by the way, the Laughing Devil hoodies go on sale after the third episode. Of course, it's Hollywood bullshit. No real MC club would ever air out their business. I'm thinking bikers are getting too popular, even revered, and this scares the police. So they got to get something out to make all clubs look evil, just like they did in the 60s with all the B-grade biker movies. All of a sudden, if you rode a Harley, people wanted to run you down just because in their ant brains, all bikers were evil. Malicious threats to society thanks to Holly Weird. Number one, the boys should be more careful when breaking those fluorescent tubes. Those things contain mercury and could be dangerous. Number two, when pulling security in the hood, you should always have a 40 and a paper bag in your hand. Adds camouflage for blending into the environment and also a good weapon to throw.
And Liz Zimmerman's in town.
Yeah. One more serious note. The new P cannot nominate or elect his VP. I know that elections haven't been held yet, and it sure appeared that the VP was a foregone conclusion. I love the private club business behind closed doors meetings with the club officers that were nationally televised. While we take this so-called club to an event held in Reno this year, well, let's see. We're talking about this, and we wanted to invite these guys to Reno. Let's see if they show. I bet they do. After trailer and advice from the $5 for autographed pics or $35 for a T-shirt, have fun with an SOA spinoff. It'll last a few more episodes. Maybe the next reality show could be about the think tank that comes up with all the stupid new reality shows titled Burnout Producers on their meth-induced psychosis. What do you think of that?
Well, I find it humorous. And you know why I find it humorous? It's like this guy telling me, watching Two and a Half Men, that's comedy. And that, you know, it's good stuff. So I guess we should laugh at it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, well, what I got to say is, number one, if they are, they're not, I don't really know the members of this club. I don't know if they're a real MC. This is the first I've seen them. If they are a real MC, this is all just for TV, what they're doing for TV. They're not letting you know who they really are. They're not going to do their club business. And, you know, I think one of the gents that was on that TV was really pronouncing out the real rules. Hey, it's 100% vote. We don't do anything secret ballots and all that. So, you know what? It sounds like they have an understanding, a good understanding of the MC world. You know, I take my hat off to them. If they're making money with Hollywood, somebody's got to do it. They might as well.
Hey, go for it. I don't have a problem with that. But
they might as well make their money on it. You know what?
Yeah.
It's legal. They're not doing anything wrong.
Well, no, you can't say that because they're doing gun deals from trunk to trunk.
You know what? That is all. They wouldn't be doing that, or that show wouldn't have had a second week, Phil, because ATF would have been in there so quick.
I don't know.
I mean, two years ago, I think it was two, maybe a little, like I said, I've lost a little bit of time because of anarchy. I actually had to laugh because one of the biker group, he's a bartender, and he was wearing, it was Halloween, mind you, he was wearing one of the anarchy shirts. Do you know that the local cops held him and drilled him for 2 hours? And he kept
laughing. I believe it.
This isn't even a real biker group.
What police department was that?
Here in San Diego.
Yeah, well, I can believe it.
Well, you know, I want to change the subject here a little bit because Bernie had an experience last night. That's one of the reasons I invited him down to be on the show. And I want you guys to listen to this because I think I sent you this from Bernie. It's called Rules of Engagement. One thing that I hope everyone realizes that cops can and do lie. Sometimes, despite your best efforts, the cops are going to get involved. Maybe someone called them. Maybe you felt the situation warranted their involvement. Or maybe they showed up at the scene. However, they got involved, and that's not going to wait just because you don't want to deal with them. So it's time to use your head. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Just like I told before, Bill's favorite two words, shut up. But you let him get the better of you.
I can't remember what biker group I used to get it from. And when I used to teach driver's ed, because, I mean, kids need a little education. And...
Yeah, but I don't want to deviate from this. Let me keep going here because I'm going to bring Bernie in so he can tell you what's going on.
Where you could read to the officer, am I under arrest? There was a whole monologue, and it'd be really
wonderful. I got that.
Tell you, we need to get those out again.
Yeah. No, everybody's, Bernie's reaching for his wallet right now. Everybody's got him. But with
yeah,
the,
I don't have one. I don't have one
well,
anymore.
I told everybody, and the first rule in dealing with the cops is to remain calm, keep you cool, and don't lose your temper. Now, that's rule number two. With the ambiguity of recording devices we all carry around in our pockets and cell phones, the first rule when dealing with the police is to record everything. If you're in a public place, the police have no expectation of privacy to record them. It was accepted in Illinois, but that changed. And that's on my blog, and you can read about that.
It's still under appeal.
They're letting them do it now, even though it's under appeal.
What did they do to Bernie? What did they do to Bernie?
Okay. Bernie.
Well, last night all the clubs went to a COC meeting in the city of Anaheim. And after the meeting was over, didn't have any problems going to the meeting. Nobody had real any problems. And then at the end of the meeting, I was talking to the commander of the post. And, you know, he was looking and he noticed, oh, you're a fireman club. Yes, I'm a fireman. I'm in the
fire. I want to interrupt you for a second. We just got a rule. Billy was on Tuesday. And I've always told him about the famous two words, shut up. Basically, he wrote, the first rule is to shut the fuck up. I always learn the hard way.
So anyways, me and my partner, I won't say who it was, but he's also on the fire department, Los Angeles County Fire Department. We left the COC after talking to him, and I discussed with him, yeah, my dad's still a VFW member. I grew up in the VFW as a little kid, Pico Rivera. My mom was the president of that post. My dad was the president of the Whittier Post. My dad, at 87 years old, still plays taps at Riverside. He drives all the way from the city of Lakewood and goes all the way to Riverside to play for the last dwindling World War II vets. He's also, my dad, a Korean War vet. He plays for the Korean War. He says, we're not even have so many Korean War vets. It's mostly Vietnam vets. And as a VFW, they go out there and they have the gun salute, and he plays the bugle. And he goes, I think I know who your dad is. And so we had a good little chat, and he was telling me how, you know, the city of Anaheim, especially the PD there, really was putting pressure on him to shut down and shut down the VFW because they didn't want bikers in that town. And I says, well, everything seems to cool down. I says, you know what? They didn't hassle us coming in. He goes, yeah, it's great. You know what? Nobody causes any problems. Nobody does anything wrong. And, you know, it's just a place to where we discuss biker rights. Nothing more, nothing less. We have lawyers there. We have a bait there. We have NCOM there. And we discuss all the new laws. That's what the COC is all about. So upon leaving, we left. Pretty much everybody was gone. We went down a side street, and then we turned to go on to the main street. And there was a motorcycle cop. He saw us. And he was already stopped there, so we were waiting for him. He waved us on, and then he started following us. So we got onto Lincoln Avenue, and we must have gone down Lincoln Avenue about 3 miles, made sure we were going 38 miles an hour, not 40 miles an hour like the thing said, so we couldn't get pulled over. Brand new bike I'm on. All of a sudden, a second police officer on a motorcycle backs his partner on a motorcycle. They flip the lights, tell us to pull over on their speakers and all that. They pull us over, and an officer Lee comes up to me and says, I go, what am I being pulled over for? He says, too loud of pipes. And I looked and said, are you kidding me? These are still stock Harley Davidson pipes on this bike. And all he said is, I want your registration, proof of insurance, and your license. I said, all right, but I said, are you even going to listen to my bike? Are you, you know, before we go any farther with this? He said, no, this is what I want. You're to stand there. During this time, I did forget rule number two, maintaining. I says, you know, this is total BS. What you're doing is you're filling out a gang enhancement card on me. You're taking all my information, every bit of my information. This is total bullshit.
Welcome to my world.
Write me the ticket for these pipes so I can go to your station and have them look at this pipe, or let me go. And it just continued there. They kept us there, and then he made me, okay, start up your bike. I started it up. He goes, I want you to gun it. I go, are you serious? I gunned my thing. He wanted it gunned. I gunned it again as loud as it would go, and I says, what are you going to do, make me blow my motor up here? What? What's the deal here? Nothing. So then I said, I want a card. I want your name. I want your badge number. I'm sorry. And they were wearing the badge that's sewn on, so it didn't have a number on. It just had the badge.
So were they real cops?
Yeah, they were real cops. Okay. They had this. And I'm looking at them saying, how could you hear my pipes? You're on a motorcycle. You have your helmet on. You have your radio going through your ear. You have your microphone. How could you have heard stock pipes? He refused to answer any questions and said, well, I can see that they're legal now, but you know what? I says, well, what about all this stuff? This is BS. I want a card. I want your name and all that. Well, and then I demanded to have the watch commander. So they made us wait another 30 minutes there waiting for the watch commander, and then I got a sergeant. And I looked at him, and I said, are you the watch commander? No. And he says, I'm the sergeant on duty out here, Sergeant Mike Lynch. And the guy says, well, I want a card from you. And he gave me a card, and he said, what's the problem? I started talking. He started to interrupt, and I said, wait. And then he started to yell, and once again, I told him, this is total BS. All you're doing is doing profiling, illegal profiling on us. We're fire department. I don't care who you are. You look like, all I know you could be, and this is his exact words, an undercover cub. We don't know if you're Mongols, Hells Angels, Vagos. We don't know who you guys are. I'm being serious here. Give me a break. You ask for IDs, you can see we're on the fire department, and you still push this. And then he says, I don't give a shit. And I said, 30-something years I'm up with L.A. County Fire Department. That doesn't impress me one bit. I don't know who you are. Then he started telling me, we have a L.A. County Fire Department member that's in our 1% club. I won't mention the club that he mentioned, but he said, well, I was just looking at his picture today, and I looked and said, that's total horseshit. It's bullshit. Bottom line is this is what they do. They don't care. They do violate people's rights. They violate them, and I feel violated, and I did go home. I called the watch commander and made an appointment with him. I'm going to contact my COC lawyer. I'm going to contact my private lawyer. And through this whole thing, I can hear them going. I see two, and I won't mention the club names for anonymity, but they were saying, here comes two more members out here. I need another car. Let's pull them over. And they were talking on their radio, so there was definite profiling. They were doing this for a purpose. And the officer, the sergeant said, you're right. This is a game, and I'm going to pull you over every time you come to my city. And I said, are you being serious? And the thing is I looked at him, I told him, I'm recording everything. So the bottom line is, now what I want to do is I want to make a report with that sergeant, and I want to, and I will definitely see, he's got to get a reply from that because of an investigation, and I want to see if this officer will tell the truth. And the bad thing is there was new officers, this officer's right out of the academy. They're teaching them to do wrong things. And if it would have been LA County Fire Department and teaching brand new recruits and brand new members of our job, I know that termination would happen real quick on the fire department. Anyways, I don't want to get on a rant here. I get a little upset right now talking about it.
Barney, I need to do me a favor, honey.
What's that?
Okay, last year there was, I don't know how much of the report you can actually get from that meeting up in Sacramento last fall. There was a head of department, and I don't know what, for some reason it just clicked on me, from Anaheim up in that area. He thinks that he's bigger than God, and he says he knows what the law is, even though essentially he was sitting in the face of Highway Patrol right there at that meeting. Unfortunately, I cannot remember his name.
Well, it doesn't matter. I got my own investigation going on in their department. I already know they had a whistleblower that took place on their department talking about how corrupt certain people were and how they've been promoted to certain positions. And you know what? I'm going to bring it to the forefront. I'm not going to stand for it.
Yeah, but the thing is, it would even be more helpful if what he had said at that highway patrol meeting, that his law is perceived what highway patrol has dictated what law is. And, I mean, they were so upset with him because he was opening his mouth, and he was so proud of the fact that he actually set up, there's apparently a really neat road that people ride there. He was so proud that he actually got his officers to write 9 motorcycle tickets for speeding, because they actually used binocs and timed them from one point to another, and they got 9 bikes and 1 car, and 2 of them he was proud of because he gave them tickets also for wearing beanie helmets.
Yeah, that's where my family's from.
And so.
Yeah, well, you know what? I got my own. My own research people doing stuff for me right now, and you know what? I'm finding out there is a lot of corruption in Anaheim, and you know what? Strong arm tactics. And the bad thing is, I really do feel sorry for the new officers that are there, because you know what? What kind of they're being taught the wrong way to do things. You know, it's not a game. And he badmouthed my job. I don't care if you're a fireman. I have no, you know, badmouth fireman. You know what? The bottom line is that, you know, it's real nice to be able to badmouth us when you have 7 guys with all your guns there, and there's only 2 of us, and you can get away with this. But you know what? When you get them one-on-one, they're a whole different, always different. And this is another guy, this officer, this sergeant, with a little man's complex, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line is, you know what? I was in Anaheim, and I was doing things for the department, the L.A. County Fire Department, for he was even the best part of his old man's dribble going down his dad's leg.
That's how you really feel.
You know what? I have no respect for this man. And you know what? I have zero respect. And the bad thing is this Officer Lee, he's being taught everything to do, and he, you know, it was like looking at a deer in the headlights when I'm asking him, you know, this is illegal, this, give me this, I want this, I don't know, I don't have to give, yeah, you do, I want your watch commander out here, you know, it's BS, you know what, the bottom line is, one day they'll pull over somebody else, like the wrong person, and they're going to find out.
They did that in Arizona to me, huh?
Yeah.
How long did I keep them guys at bay?
Yeah. But the bottom line is those guys at least acted professional.
Yeah.
I have to give it to the Homeland Security guys that pulled us over in Yuma. Professional. And they didn't make a big deal. They didn't even come to me to, hey, what's this club you're in? Oh, the country boys. No, the county boys. And you know what? They at least showed us respect the whole time we were there. And that's all I wanted from these guys is the respect. Why are you doing a gang enhancement? Well, you know what? I'm going to screw you. You're nothing but a biker. And then when I called the real watch commander on duty, I said, I have a stock Harley. They're pulling me over for illegal pipes, saying it's too loud. I go, and they're saying, you know, that, you know, we're a biker. He goes, well, I ride Harley Davidsons too. And I go, you do? Because they said nobody but dumbass bikers ride Harleys. And you're the watch commander. And ask him if he said that. And if he lies, you know what? Lying on an investigation is grounds for termination. I know it is on the fire department. I know it is.
It's like I told you, Bernie, all we got to do is send him a public service request. And how it goes down. They have 10 days to answer us. If they don't answer us, we send a letter to the FBI. They have 10 days. They don't answer us, we send one to the Department of Justice, and somebody will come and see us.
So it was humiliating to be left out there. Humiliating.
I'll tell you what. I'm definitely going to have a cup of coffee with you, honey. I would ride next to you anytime. I don't know if he'll ride next to me, but I'd ride next to you anytime.
And then for this sergeant to look at my partner and say, well, he's got on a red and white flannel. That means it's a disc club. And I'm going, are you serious? A Pendleton from Costco? And that's a club?
Bill wears a red and white Pendleton.
Yeah.
I wear
I'm
a red
thinking,
and white Pendleton.
My God, are you kidding me? What's my black Harley Davidson shirt from the Grand Canyon mean?
Well, you know, Billy was with us in Yuma, right? So Billy writes, well, that's what happens when you stay at the fancy hotel in Yuma. Us in the road coach and had no issues. Don't be a hater. You guys could have stayed there, too. Don't be a hater. But, hey, we got someone on the line. Stacey, are you still there?
Of course I am. This is my Thursday night fix. What's going on, people?
Not much. You heard how our life goes out here, but...
Well, you know, of course, I'm going to, like, tune in for my weekly bitch fest, so I'll give you my interpretation of what I think. I think it's absolutely pathetic of what the Anaheim Police Department did to these firemen. And the thing is that, you know, I'm not going to try to categorize firemen, policemen, and bikers, but firemen are upstanding guys. You know, they come out, they help families, they do things, et cetera, et cetera. Now, from my understanding, ever since I was a child, the fire department, the police department, and rescue departments, they all kind of like work together, help one another out for different things. And just the simple fact that this was a group of fire department individuals, they had papers on them or on their licenses, whatever, stating that they worked for the fire department. And the fact that this police department gave them the typical ration of bullshit that they give us regular bikers, there's really something to be said there. And not to categorize anybody, because that's what I'm not trying to do. But, you know, you would think that one department would be okay with another department. And just the simple fact of the major disrespect that was happening here, I hope the guy that was just talking, I didn't catch his name. Bernie.
His name is Bernie, and I just want to let you know that he's originally from Boston.
Hey! but I hope, you know, Bernie and his, you know, group of brothers take it to the fullest extent, because, you know, this is an example, you know, of it doesn't matter what you do, where you go, who you are in society, you get on a bike and they're automatically going to treat you like crap. And these are the things that bikers, you know, we're fighting for our rights every single day because of harassment and because of who we are and how we dress and our lifestyle, et cetera. And, you know, you've got one force, the police department, verbally attacking the fire department. What does that have to, you know, what an example this is. And it's just, it's typical crap. And, you know, it needs to be voiced, you know, it needs to be heard. People need to be aware of this, you know, beyond this show. People need to write about this, because this is a major thing, a major,
right.
Major thing. And, you know, I am deeply sorry. I love my fire department guys. You know, I can't say the same about the police department, but, you know, I got family in the fire department and everything else, and they are some of the most upstanding guys, you know, that I know. They're putting their lives on the line every single day, and it doesn't matter if you're black, white, yellow, fat, skinny, asleep, or awake. You know, they go in and they assist the community. And the fact that, you know, they got the other group knocking them below the knees, that's crap. It really is. And
yeah,
I hope to God
and
you
and
guys...
I did remember posing the question, so does that mean if a black man in a Mercedes-Benz drives through here, you have grounds to pull him over because a black man shouldn't own a Mercedes? What is your problem here? So you're saying
exactly.
Profiling like this is legal?
Well, unfortunately, like you were saying, the departments have gotten watered down with the top dog, you know, the key dog telling the little puppies what to do. And instead of following the laws and the rules, they make them up as they go along. and, you know, they profile everyone, and it's crap. It's crap. I am deeply sorry that, you know, such an upstanding group like the fire department, you know, got targeted with that. But on the other hand, you know, it sets a really big eye-opening thing here that they don't care what your credentials are, who you are, you know, who you're with, et cetera, et cetera. It's you're on a bike, you're a dirty biker, and we're going to, you know, sock it to you. They don't care about nothing else. And this is just, like I said it's crap. It is crap.
Family can testify. This is a reason why on civil service exams, the top 10% can become firemen. The lower 50% can go sheriff's or police department.
You know, and I mean, a while ago I had a run-in with a few offices, and the thing is that, you know, if you come at me and you're talking and there's respect involved, okay, you know, you might get a casual conversation out of me, but, you know, I had talked about this a while ago, this particular officer who was green, or so to say, and new to the force, like, you know, he got up in my face. Hey, I'm a female, you're a male. Back the frick down. You know, and it's the total, the hostility that they have towards you because you are a biker individual. They automatically deem you as scum, dangerous, whatever. And it's just crap, you know. It totally, totally is. But the new, you're right on the aspect that the new ones are getting molded by the older ones who are set in their warped, twisted ways. And something's got to be done to stop it. Because
what they're
going to continue.
Is the shit from 1973.
Biker 101.
It has never changed. They're using the same fucking thing.
You know, I think personally, on a larger scale, bikers need to rally together. They need to storm the mayor's office, picket in front of it, you know, something. You know, our voices need to be heard besides, you know, all the bullshit they like to write up in the paper about how, quote unquote, bad we are. You know, and they've got society running in fear that we're all kinds of visual antis ready to, like, you know, explode people's houses and take their women and children and, you know.
How much for the men? How much for the children?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is. It's ridiculous, and it's just come, it's going to, you know, they're going to keep putting the pressure on us till it comes to the point that we're riding 10 speeds, you know,
highway. Even so, in the town that I live in, you cannot ride a bicycle on the sidewalk. I'm serious. You cannot ride a bicycle on the sidewalk here. It is on their rules.
And yeah, and I know in Boston they like to double park.
Well, they do in Chicago.
Yeah, we got some bad driving habits out here.
Yeah, well, you know, we have an interstate out here. It's been nicknamed, and it's not like I like to use this phrase because I really don't, but there's a highway here in Illinois, and it's well known because if you get on there, if you cannot keep up with the traffic, they will run you over. So a lot of people here, they call it the Nigger 500. Because, not kidding, it takes you right into the city, you know, but, I mean, everybody's doing at least 75 or higher, and if you do, and it's even with the truckers, they will run you over if you don't keep up. It's crazy. So if you don't know how to drive, get out here and get on that highway, I'll go future real quick. But, yeah, like, you know, I cannot believe that. See, we have fire department clubs. We have police clubs here. I don't know if you're, if I'm saying that accurate, because I'm not sure if you're considered as a club, okay, because you are with the fire department. But you ride. What is the issue? And they know who you are. As soon as they pull up behind you, they know who you are. You know it, and I know it. So
oh, yeah.
Why were
those guys,
they
were surprised they wanted to know what I did for the government, remember?
Yeah.
Well, technically, Phil, that's none of their damn business. You
that's
know,
what I told them, because I
what
straight
you
on,
do.
I don't know
that has
nothing. If I told you, you wouldn't believe me anyway.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with the random pullover or where you were or anything. Like, your personal life doesn't affect the situation at hand. You know, when you get pulled over in a car, the officer doesn't ask you, you know, what do you do for a living? Where do you hang out, et cetera, you know? So,
but one time I was pulled over. I was selling my uniform from work, and he asked me where I was coming from. It's my job. I had my name tag on and everything. I just left work. I'm going to the next ramp, and I'm off the highway.
Mm-mm-mm.
Okay, I'm gonna drop this one on you.
Uh-oh.
Now. Well,
okay, Fran.
Okay. Now, I believe it is Texas at the moment, there is a serial killer.
Yes, there is.
That is pulling people over.
Is that where my damn Lucky Charms went to? God.
Yes. That was a Fruit Loop and the Cheerios.
The next question comes in. I'm a very delicate female, you know, and I do ride at night. So how do I know that it's safe to pull over?
You don't know.
And do I run the risk that this person who's pulling me over is not the serial killer?
Hey, Fran, do me a
don't
favor.
Know.
Fran, do me a favor. Sit still.
Okay. Is that better?
Yes. Thank you.
But Fran, they had an incident taking place here in Chicago where it was somebody that was dressed as a cop, real quick, so you can finish yours, where he was pulling over women and raping them.
Yeah,
okay.
We had one of those here in Massachusetts that was doing the same
right.
thing, and he was pulling people over. He had like a Ford Crown,
everything.
Victoria, yeah, and he had the lights
right.
put in, pulling people over, and yeah, he was raping women.
And how do you know? You don't know. When you're a single female, you know, or male, how do you know? You don't.
Well, that's the thing that's scary, what Fran's talking about, is she's on a motorcycle. So all it takes
exactly.
is like three seconds to pull out a piece of wood, anything, and crack her over the head, and she's down.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, she doesn't have a car to crack a window and say, can I see your personal identification before you see mine?
Right.
You know, I mean, there's no boundaries there when you're sitting on a bike and you're worried about that.
I know, because you're open. You're open to
right.
anything.
Well,
exactly.
To be honest with you, if it's a woman in a car, at that point, if she's not calling 911 to verify that truly is a cop pulling her over, when that person, she hasn't, or he or she, excuse me, either or,
right.
is being pulled over, if they don't call 911 first and say, please verify that this is a true officer pulling me over.
Right.
This is where I am. This is what I'm driving.
Right.
Then you know something. Then, yeah, there's a good possibility that they're going to get hurt.
I didn't even
but
know
now,
that you could do that.
Anaheim, if it's in Anaheim, pull into a fire station. I wouldn't advise going to the police station.
Exactly.
Well, now, that's not always true. And the only reason I'm going to say that is because coming from New York, a lot of our fire stations back east were volunteers.
Yeah, we have a lot of volunteers here.
And
but
so,
we don't have that too much. We don't have, in California, there's no volunteers.
Correct. But that's not, you have to remember that.
Fine, just beware. Just pull into the fire station. You'll have a lot better luck, and you won't be told that maybe it was your fault. Maybe your dress was a little bit of a come-on or something. You know, I really got a bad taste in my mouth for Anaheim.
Yeah, but it's not just Anaheim. It's everywhere.
It's
and,
everywhere USA.
You know, it's like I said, you know, we as a group of riding individuals have to, you know, voice our our concerns, you know, and that's the problem, is like getting everybody together to do a big rally, to march up on a state house or Christ, even Washington, you know, and say something's got to be done about what they're doing to the biker community. You know, again, it's crap. No, it's cow crap. It's big poop. And that's it,
yeah.
You know.
And you can say the seven words you can't say on TV, you can say.
Yeah,
here.
I know, but I'm trying to be nice. I only get flying off the handle with bad words when I'm mad.
I've gotten to the point now that my words, I don't care anymore, because I am so tired of people trying to be nice and then screwing me over.
Exactly.
One of the things that we do have to remember, however, is when we do mention, like, going to a fire department, that is true as far as California goes. A lot of states, however, those fire departments are not manned until there is a fire. It's all volunteer. So
then you have no plan to your police station.
You're probably better running. Next question, being such a frail little female, is if I were to, by accident, hurt one of them, do I get
help? let me chime in here, because I'm a female too, but see, I have a tendency of not following rule number one. Shut it up. And when I don't follow rule number one, I definitely break rule number two. Okay. The last time the cops had to come and talk to me, they came four strong. And I'm like, why so many? And they're like, your past history. I'm like, okay, so, you know, it don't matter if you're a tiny little intimidated woman. They don't care. They don't care. They're going to get up in your face and do what they want to do anyways.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman. If you're riding that motorcycle or you're sporting some type of Harley Davidson shirt or other shirts, whatever, they're going to give you a ration of crap.
Well, you know what? I have to give it out to the guys that pulled us over in Yuma. Homeland Security. They were total nice, did not harass us. They asked us for a little bit of questions.
Well, only because when they got out, I took control of the situation.
But I could tell they weren't being, they were doing their job.
Right. But I kept them at a distance, and I stopped them from doing their bullshit.
And everybody stayed all happy, nice, and you know what? They just talked, and it was nice. You know what? You guys have a good time. You know what?
Here's your warning ticket.
Yeah, but you know what? They gave you a little warning.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is they showed respect. They got a lot of respect. And you know what? We left with a good feeling about those two officers.
Yep.
Well, it boils down to, you know, the old saying, you give respect, you get respect. And like I said, I'm not a fan of the police department. I have my own personal reasons. But there's been plenty of times where I've had to encounter the PD for whatever, whether it be my fault, somebody else's fault, or I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, where they come over and they're courteous and they talk and you can carry on a couple of different sentences, whatever, and this is cool. But those are few and in between.
Yeah.
You get more of the arrogance.
Yeah, but you got to give kudos for those that do.
I still have a conflict of interest with that, but I'll be nice.
Kudos to the ones that know that, you know, aren't out there to harass you or to sit there and, you know, be nasty because they have a badge. You know, I give kudos to the good ones.
I've also seen the good ones do one thing one time, and then at something different, you see that same cop, and he's with a group of, let's say, the good old boys or whatever, higher-ups, whatever, or maybe he's the high-ranking man, and all of a sudden, he's a horse's ass. these are the sole reasons why, you know, I'm sorry, you know, no disrespect to anybody. I cannot give kudos to any form of PD because they turn at the drop of a hat.
Depends I don't know. See, I've never had them on the bad side of me. So
yeah, well,
I
look at it as it depends on who they're entertaining and who's watching at that moment
right.
in time. You know, and to me, that's, you know, you're either genuine or you're fake. And if you're one way one time, another way another time, and another way another time, well, that's fake.
Right.
Yeah, well, but I got to say that, you know, on the whole, most officers, and I've ridden with other clubs, you know, going someplace with them, there's a lot of officers, if you're not breaking the law, they don't interfere in any way, shape, or form. I believe when it's a city like Anaheim and they're trying to prove a point and they have somebody that's in a leadership position that's trying to do something, that's when a whole department starts going down the wrong road.
Yep, it's like a big ball, like a snowball. Once it gets rolling, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's just like I stated earlier, you know, they're already teaching officers illegal ways of pulling somebody over to make it kind of legal. Well, we thought your pipes were too loud, so now we're going to do all this. We're going to harass you. We're going to do this, but in a way to where they can get all the information and all this and put it into their computer database and then share it with everybody. No telling what they're doing with my private information, sending it to you, saying, well, this guy's this. And you know what? They're painting a picture of me. Is it real or is it what they want people to believe?
It's what they want people to believe, because if you read any current news articles on, you know, biker situations or you watch the news or whatever, they automatically throw that bad stuff at you first. Anything positive that comes out of the situation, or somebody made a mistake, or it was another person's fault, you hear that a week and a half later after they've already caused mass hysteria with the public. You know? So, I don't know. They just jot down what they deem fit and they go by it. And like I said, these are some of the major things that I have problems with.
Well, I'm sure they're all sitting around in a little group table saying, okay, this is what we're going to say went down. We all give the same story. This is what happened. This is what we'll write down.
But they can't. But every one of them has a recorder that goes on. As soon as they pull you over, it goes on. As soon as they call up and run your plate, it starts recording. That's all we got to
do. Yeah. They do, Phil, because my last bad encounter, I've been good for a little bit now. I was flipping out in the back of the cruiser, and I said to the idiot that got up in my face, I'm like, you make sure you got your recorder on. You're recording all this. And he was already, it's already been on. I'm like, you know, but yeah, they do, you know, and it's amazing. You know, another thing, too, is it's amazing how much stuff will disappear and, oh, we didn't do this and we didn't do that, when you're in the right and they're in the wrong.
Yeah.
See, it's hard to see that side, because if you've never been, you know, in trouble, you don't see that other side. You know what I mean? I've seen it with other people. I've just never experienced it myself.
But even people that have occasionally had a tango with the PD, okay, you know, they could come out and it could be just a bogus situation at the time. Maybe somebody wasn't thinking level-headed, whatever. And let's say they come out 6 months later, and it could be the same individual, or let's say the same group of individuals. They automatically deem bad shit, you know.
Right.
Well, when we were out here 6 months ago, well, 6 months ago ain't affecting the situation now. You're here now for a new situation. They automatically stereotype. They automatically profile. They automatically do everything that they're not supposed to do. And, like, these are the things that just really get me riled up.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, I feel really lucky. And primarily because as a teenager, well, a younger than teenager, I used to use the local police officers as taxi cabs.
Really?
Why?
Why?
Because I could. That's why. And they always came, and they always took me from the one location all the way to wherever I needed to go. It was great.
How nice was that? Friend, I'd be afraid of doing something like that, because if it, like, entailed down at your local watering hole and you couldn't get a ride back and they brought you, I'd be afraid that they would, like, here, have a cup of coffee, and they put some truth serum in that and begin to pump you for any type of information. I don't know, I just don't trust that.
You know, I have seen officers where they have taken people that were hyped up, you know, over-medicated on their meds, you know?
Yeah.
Where they've taken them from their location where their car is parked to where they reside. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? They're over-medicated. They should not be behind the wheel in the first place, and you're going to give them a ride home? What's wrong with this picture?
Yeah. Let me do this real quick. We got people listening all over, but we got Fran in San Diego. Chad is out of Canada. Kimmy's in New York. Larry BJ, I don't know where he's at. Mark is from Long Beach, and Nora's in Chicago. And then we got other people listening from all over.
Stacy from Boston.
More close to Providence, but.
Well, Providence. Yeah, Massachusetts.
Listen,
pull your head out of your butt.
On the line.
Hey, I got a mute button here, right? And Stacy's
really?
From Boston.
And you know how to use it?
Yes, I do.
I know. We were just correcting you. We're women. Sorry.
Didn't let me.
Well, Phil's the big rooster in the hen house, you know?
I know. But he likes when us women are here because it draws attention.
Right now, we got Puerto Rico, Hong Kong, Spain, New Zealand, the United Kingdom, Australia, and Canada.
Hello, wide world. How are you?
Exactly.
I want to give a shout out to my mates in Australia.
It's roughly around 6 o'clock in the morning there.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, I wouldn't mind hearing this show during my coffee hour, let me tell you.
I'll tell you, their accents or something.
It's a quarter to 11 in Bali right now, and that's where, and in Indonesia, and that's where my daughter and son-in-law have their surf boat.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And we got Mark just picked up his bike from Rusty's, and he's looking forward to the weekend. So
nice. Both days.
The big event Saturday is Military Appreciation Day down here. We got two places to go. Call me tomorrow, and I'll tell you where to meet us.
You're a little too far from me.
That's okay.
Nah, you can take a plane.
No, I just can't.
The plane.
Yeah, Phil, does the radio show include airline tickets?
Yeah.
And
we'll come and videotape. Stacy, you gotta go.
And then what kind of pictures I get in an email?
What?
What?
I said for airline tickets, it depends on what kind of pictures I get in an email.
Oh! You just opened up a whole book. Now wait till you see what I'm going to send you, and I can guarantee it's not going to be me. You just stuck your foot in your mouth there, homeboy.
Whatever you send me, I have to verify.
That's okay. You can verify it, but when it's like a 93-year-old woman, you're going to be slightly upset.
Hey, what are we looking at here all night?
Pictures of the motorcycle.
Why do I not believe that?
Because they're men.
I can totally believe they're honesty in the motorcycles, but who's on the motorcycle or possibly posed on the backside of the motorcycle.
It's the biker babes.
Wait.
Do you know how to tell if a man is lying?
Yes.
How?
How?
Yeah.
It's by their mannerisms. It's how they talk to you.
No. His lips are moving.
Well, and other things move too. That's a lie.
Nora, your mind's always in the potty, girl.
I wasn't talking about that.
Oh, shit. Ooh, I swore.
So what? I've done it.
Oh, my God.
That's why they put me on a timeout. I can't curse in the chat. That happened from the Herman show. That was when you cursed out that guy because we were cussing, remember?
Oh, God, yeah.
They've had me on a timeout ever since. I'm like, I'm a good girl, and I get the timeout. What up?
Larry says he's from Montana. Well, thanks for tuning in, Larry.
Yo, hello, Montana, with all the cowboys.
Montana.
Yeah.
Ooh, cowboy riders. Ooh.
Beautiful open roads out in Montana.
Absolutely.
Doesn't get any better than that during 4 months of the year.
It's
gorgeous.
I've
only seen it in pictures.
It's drop dead gorgeous. Only place I know you can have a moose going across your front lawn.
Yep.
Mm. Well, there's places in New Hampshire and Vermont that can happen too.
Really?
Them mooses, they you watch out for them, man, because they will hurt you.
They're huge.
They're not, you know, those nice creatures. And if you really get one aggravated, you better make sure you have something very hot and sturdy in front of you, because if they come at you, you're in some trouble.
Yeah, you can't outrun them.
They're just mean.
I came across one of those in Alaska. Kent stopped in the middle of the road. I look over, I nail my brakes. My bike starts to do that, you know, that back wheel dance.
Yeah,
I got him on one side. I look to the right. On the shoulder is a moose. And at that point, I figure, you know what, if that son of a gun jumps up, then he and I are going to meet the maker. At that point, I nailed the gas because I got tired of my back tire dancing. I finally get down the road and stop. And Kent says, so how was it? You didn't see me stop? I was like, well, no, I was busy looking at the landscape at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Ah.
You know, I just got an instant message.
Yeah?
Ooh.
Uh-oh. It's scary out there.
Hey, we got to tell you.
Did you make a picture?
No, wait, listen. Mark from Long Beach, he's checking out the blog. So when you guys said what we were looking at, because we're men and shit. He says, his wife Sue says, keeps accusing me of looking at online porn when he's looking at my babe of the weeks on the blog.
See what you started?
Hey, but don't laugh. I have a couple of porn stars that send me pictures regularly and become babe of the week.
Oh, I know. Remember,
wow.
I did a show with you. Hello. Oh, sorry. I'm finally back because my dog knocked me off the internet. Pulled the cord on my laptop. I'm back.
Well,
okay.
Phil, I guess, you know, you're a pretty important dude.
Oh.
Me? Nice to be me.
Yeah, amen, brother.
That's just a good looking guy.
You just like to rub it in everybody's face.
I'm not just a good looking guy. I'm smart, too.
Yeah, but you know man, you got that George Washington face going on in all your pictures. How about some permagrant action, you know? How about, you know, cracking a little smile every now and then?
He doesn't know how to smile. Maybe usually tight asses don't know how to smile. Whoops. Sorry, I said that out loud.
That's someone that
Billy says, send me those porn stars my way. I'm accepting applications for my future ex-wife.
Oh, my God.
I can see it's going to be a happening night today.
Yeah. He says we got to read between the lines.
Oh, God.
You look between the lines.
No, you got to have a magnifying glass to read between those lines, though.
There's not that many people on here. Yeah, bottom zone.
I can hear him talk.
Yeah.
I know. There's not too many people here.
Yes, there are. There's lots of people.
Yep.
No. We're talking
about
that. We're talking outside in the van.
Yeah.
Oh, do you got one of them little spy white vans where, you know, the little people sit in the back with all the machines?
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
Make them a pot of coffee, you know? Because you know what? I'll show them a little respect. Yeah.
You
gotta get inside there. I sure hope one of them wasn't eating beans and tacos.
Oh, God.
That's exactly what his partner's saying. Oh, my God, dude.
I seen a bumper sticker the other day, but it's a pretty old bumper sticker. It says, "Bad cop, no donut." And I just, every time I see that, I get a giggle because, you know, it's a proven fact that, you know, the coffee shops are overrun with the police department. And I can't figure the connection. I don't quite understand it, why coffee and donuts are the favorite of, you know, the blue and whites.
Have you heard me talk about my thing about my town's police has health issues? All
yeah,
fat.
I heard you say that last week, and you know I've said that about, you know, the boys down here too, that you've got more overweight cops than you do, you know, fresh out of the police academy, and you know my concern is how fast can they get to an emergency? Can they bend down? Can they give CPR without their gut?
But you don't interact
away
with them daily like I do.
Yeah, but yeah,
no.
I'll tell you right now, there's no cop I know that's going to do CPR on anybody but an infant.
That's
yep.
Terrible.
Well, that's, you know what? They're really not trained for it.
Nope.
No, but if they pulled up to an emergency situation and you know, CPR needed to be done until, like, an ambulance driver or the police, the fire department got there, you know, I think they should be doing that, no?
Well, you know what? I got to give kudos to certain ones. You know, every once in a while you see one that does go in a burning building. It was just like that. Was it the mayor of I really took my hat off to him. You know what? That guy almost ate it. The mayor of what city was that? New Jersey or Chicago? One of the back east. And he actually went in and saved this fellow individual. And he put his life on the line. And you know what you do? I mean, it's, I understand there's some bad apples on every, there's bad apples on every department.
Right.
Bottom line is that sometimes departments get overran. You know, you've heard the stories about New Orleans. You know,
Yeah. They
had to send the federal government and it was so corrupt. You know, the bottom line is that not all PD, you know what, they go in there thinking they're going to save the world, and the bottom line is when they find out they can't, some of them get real frustrated and start taking out on normal people. I don't know what the problem is, but some of them do a good job. You can't say all of them are bad. It's just like
all bad.
It's just like all politicians, you know, not all of them, the majority lie, but not all of them lie.
Well, you know, it's like I said, they get paid to lie.
And, you know, when
they
teach how to do it, that's bad.
But the problem is for every one good, you've got 10 bad. And when you've got 10 bad, the one good needs to go with the flow. Instead of following the rules of engagement correctly, instead of not profiling, instead of not teaming up with the other people, et cetera, they just kind of fold in, you know? And
well, you know, it was like, in all fairness to Anaheim PD, they did have one that went out and he became, what do they call that when you, you're basically a snitch. He didn't agree with a lot of the stuff that's going on.
We call him a fucking rat.
Yeah. But I'm talking about in the police department. He saw what was going on, and he rolled on him in the year 2000. I forget exactly what his name is. I know if you look on the internet, you can find it. But he, you know, he talked about the frustration of it all.
But in the end, what does anybody have like a history on what he, you know, what happened to him afterwards that he, you know, rolled on the police department? Did anything change? Did anything happen? Were people fired? Were new people brought in? Or did it just remain the same?
It remained the same, and those that were bad got promoted.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
You're only as good as your top dog. Oh, you always follow the alpha male, you know, in...
Yeah.
And the bottom line is when you have a police chief that allows this to go on, he's the bottom line. He's the one responsible for it. Everything should fall back on him. And hopefully, he will become aware of these problems and put a stop to it.
I hope to God your group of people, you know, prevail on this. But my gut tells me that, you know, they're going to just throw a lot of bureaucratical bullshit your way, and they'll get away with it.
No. They're not going to get away with it, because I'll tell you why. I did the same thing. I had the same encounter with 7 guys on motorcycles. Those 7 guys now are now walking a beat. On second shift, they each lost $832.56 a month extra pay for maintaining that bike on the weekends.
Yeah.
They love me.
Mm-hmm. Do you beep and wave every time you go by?
They're my biggest. I don't have to wave. I can go. Billy can call in and tell you. I've been on there for 10 minutes. I won't see a cop that whole 10 minutes. As soon as they figure out where I'm at, they're parked on this side of the street, that side of the street, in the alley, in the parking lot, waiting to see what's going to happen because everybody comes to me.
Mm-mm-mm. You should go get a box of donuts and give them all a few donuts while they're, you know, watching the individual Phil show out in the open. I can't.
You got to understand, there seems to be a weight problem. We're trying to cut back.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, you know, you could get muffins and cut them in half. Maybe the muffin will be less calories. I don't know.
I'm thinking that maybe we should hand them apples or oranges.
Ooh,
yeah.
That might piss them off.
Well, we're just trying to keep them healthy.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want them to have sugar withdrawal. How rude would that be?
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, I think they got an interdepartment Donuts Anonymous, so that's not too bad.
Donuts Anonymous. Oh, my God. That's great.
They've come to believe that they're powerless over the donut, over the cinnamon roll.
Does the fire department have a craving for donuts too, or you guys stay away from donuts?
That's negatory. The only time we eat sweets is when the public brings it into us. Actually, the public seems to love fire department.
That we do, man. I mean, you guys are awesome, and that's all, you know. And it's not. I know a lot of people got really gung-ho on the fire department during 9/11, but you know something? It's more than just 9/11. It's what you guys do 7 days a week, 365 days a year. The people's lives you've saved and people that you've helped out in the community, et cetera. And, you know, the communities all need to appreciate their fire departments, you know, because you guys are a remarkable group of people. I know I personally would not run into a house on fire. I'd hand somebody a hose, but, you know, that's just me. And for that, you know, all the fire departments get my utmost respect.
Yeah, and you know what? It was in 9/11. A lot of us, even from L.A. County and from all over the world, Boston, I met guys at 9/11 from all over the world. That
Did you meet our group that came out of Providence with the food truck?
Well, I don't know if I met the food truck because I was working with the guys from Station 7 down
okay,
there.
because Providence, Rhode Island sent up a huge food truck, and like some of them guys, that was the only source of like coffee and a hot bowl of soup and a sandwich, you know, that they were seeing. And they
I know one thing. I made my mom's day when they invited me back to be into the St. Patrick's Day parade and march with them. That made my mom's day.
Yeah, that's an awesome
And it was
thing.
From all over the world. I got to give you know what? There is no, there's no politics once Firemen United. It doesn't matter if you're from Russia, China, from wherever. It's like we sent a group of guys down to the tsunami and to the radiation pants. And they welcomed us with open arms because we have a big search and rescue.
Right.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to go to that, but my heart was with the guys that went.
You know, have you been to my blog, Stacy? Anybody?
Yes, I've gone a couple of times, and I was, you know, checking out the babes, man.
The right-hand side. On the right-hand side, you'll see the first picture says hanging out.
Yeah.
That's Rusty and T-Rod at their shop. The next one below that is me, Bernie, and Bill.
Yeah, I know.
Where it says good friends. Yeah, no. I was telling Bernie, I was telling Bill the last time I saw both of them, that people ask me, okay, so that's you, your dad, and your grandpa?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Bill's family, the Kennedys, grew up on the same block as the Shays, my family, on G Street in South Boston.
You know, that's funny because I was just going to say, is he related to any of our famous Kennedys over here?
No, not me. That's Bill.
Yeah. Ah. Is Bill related to any of the famous Kennedys over here?
Yeah, I think he is.
Get out of here, really?
Second or third cousins.
Yeah, but don't put the jinx.
I know. Another one committed suicide, one of the ex-wives or whatever. I seen that on the news. I was like, oh, never ends for that Kennedy family, I'll tell you.
No, it doesn't. But all the Kadire pharmacies that were in South Boston were my grandma's and my uncle's.
Ah, no kidding.
Yeah.
When did you move out to California?
I was born here in Long Beach, and then I used to just have to go back there and visit all the time.
Ah. Well, Boston is an amazing city if you know your way around it. If you don't, you know, you could run into some trouble. But
and my dad grew up in East Boston.
Okay.
He grew up in East Boston right there. I forget the name of the street, but, you know, it was right there. The ocean was right across the street, and he lived basically in an Italian, being Irish, in an Italian neighborhood.
Wow. You know, I love the Italian section up in Boston where Prince Street is. I don't know if everybody's familiar with Prince Spaghetti. And that old commercial where little Anthony was running around going, Wednesday is Prince Spaghetti Day, but that's actually real. And, you know, a lot of the little shops and restaurants down there, they're like five-star dining. They're great places to eat. You know, you get a good waitress or the cook comes over, he'll tell you about the story of Prince Street, you know, and the boy running around. Wednesday is Prince Spaghetti Day. So, you know, Boston's a great, great little city. We get a lot of bad rap, you know, but overall, it's okay. I enjoy it.
That was the first time I learned how to run away from the, not Bunker Hill, Thomas Park. My cousins were telling me, hey, come on, we got to go. And they're on horses. What? You have police on horses?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Absolutely. But, you know, if you really want a rough version of Boston, go to any Red Sox game, you know, and hang outside if they lose. And then you see the attitude of Boston, you know. So.
Hey, Stacy, I'm going to send you something right now. You might want to take a look at that.
Well, I'm outside on my back patio underneath the stars. I'm not by the computer, so I might have to grab that after.
Yeah, I just sent it to your page, but this girl that's standing there next to a black diner with a hammer on top of the saddlebag, that's my bite. Yeah. Bernie just gave me a thumbs up.
Did did you put a babe on my page?
Yes, he did.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know what? You're going to get kicked. Great.
Wait till you see it, because it says service department.
Oh, my God. You're too funny, Phil. I will return the courtesy. It's on now. It's called War.
She's a dancer. Well, you can tell when you see her. Trust me.
I'm sure, because I've seen, you know, those pictures on the blog, and, you know, those girls look like, you know, some of them could be dancers. Hey, you know something? I'm going to tell you something. As a female, I am sorry. I respect them pole dancers, because I've seen some of the stuff they can do, and in my opinion, they should be in the Olympics, you know, because that takes some muscle, some serious strength to do some of the stuff they do, them pole dancers there. You know, so hats off to them. Shoot.
It says, I'm tired of poking. Spank me.
And it was from one of his guy friends.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, so now the truth comes out.
But, no, we're done. We're actually done. I'm going to close this out with a song, and... expect to see you guys here Tuesday.
Hey, it was nice talking to you girls.
Exactly.
Nice. Good luck. Good luck with everything. Let us know how you make out.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm not in jail. I'm not eating, green bologna sandwiches, so life is good.
Yeah, and I'm going to take us out with a Mike B song. This one's called One Percenter.
So Amen.
Talk to you guys. We'll talk to all you guys next week.
Good night.
It's that Harley boy, Mike B. And they say I represent the 1% of the bad biker community. But I just represent freedom.